It is registration deadline day in Oregon. You need to get registered to vote by the end of the day today. California got a few days left. Ballots arrive in a few days on the Oregon side. They are sent out once the registration lists are final. From the governor to the local city council, there's a lot on the ballot. And as in any even-numbered year, there are many ballot measures to consider, too. All Jackson County residents will vote on a gun-related measure. Measure 15-181, or 15-181 if you prefer, is called the Right to Bear Arms Amendment, one of several on county ballots in Oregon in this election under the general heading of Second Amendment Protection Ordinances. Some people are calling them SAPs or SAPs. We already heard from the no side on this and similar measures from Ceasefire Oregon. That was last week. Today we hear from the yes side on Second Amendment protection at the local level. Ryan Mallory is campaign manager for Patriotic Revolution, which is a yes on 15-181 organization, among several other things. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, how are you, Jeff?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
Tell us, what is Patriotic Revolution, first off?
Patriotic Revolution is a website that me and my friends have had since 2013 to talk about gun issues and patriotic issues and try to turn the tide towards a little bit more patriotic America.
You mentioned gun issues first. Is that the primary interest you have?
That's what we used it for relative to this, because we consider it a patriotic issue.
Patriotic how? Explain how those two things fold together.
It's part. Very much part of our country's history, and the right to being able to protect yourself from local threats, as well as your government if needed. We've seen a lot of things go on in history where when a government takes your guns, not too long behind that is usually communism or dictatorship. That's not a big threat in our opinion, but definitely something that we should be able to own weapons for in case. But for the most part, we believe every American that's of adult age in the mental health to be able to own a gun should be able to protect themselves with equal force to that a criminal might use.
There's always some rumbling from either side of the gun law debate. Did anything in particular trigger this effort to, if you'll pardon the expression, trigger? I just realized how...
No, that's okay.
Did anything in particular set off this effort to pass county-level amendments?
Well, over the years, we've seen lots of runs at gun ban and confiscation issues. Most recently, IP44, which was basically struck down in terminology by the court system, in that they said that the words assault rifle have no meaning in the gun world, and that high-capacity magazine isn't actually a description of a part of a gun, because the average magazine ranges between 6 and 30 rounds, and there are already, as we know, billions of them in the U.S., and probably billions of them in Oregon as well. So that was struck down, and we're told that they are going to make another run at that, and we had some definite concerns with IP44.
So that makes this sound like a preemptive kind of move.
Absolutely. As these happen over the years, different organizations take a run at banning certain kinds of guns, often without understanding what those guns are. We eventually got to a point before IP44 where me and a large group of people that I'm part of said we should probably do something in our county to set a precedence so that it doesn't come to us.
All right, but your Jackson is one of, what, 5 counties voting on similar ordinances this fall?
30 rural counties are either have an existing Second Amendment protection order or charter amendment, or are voting on one.
Mm-hmm. All right, but the votes this fall are just a handful of counties this time around, right?
Yeah, because most of the county commissioners in other counties pass themselves as an ordinance.
We were talking about that. Yeah, Douglas County commissioners went ahead and did this themselves without waiting for a vote of the people, is that right?
And Josephine County has had one since 1991 that the people in Josephine County are very happy with.
So is it the same ordinance? Are we talking about essentially the same wording in each of these?
The wording might be a little bit different because we went for a charter amendment rather than an ordinance. And the reason that we went for a charter amendment is because it has to be removed the same way that it goes in, by the vote of the people. And like you said about another county, without a vote of the people, we kind of like that.
All right.
We kind of like the people to vote on it.
All right.
And we also like the people to vote to have to remove it if we get it approved.
Ryan Mallory is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the campaign manager for Patriotic Revolution, which is in favor of Measure 15181, which is Jackson County's Second Amendment protection. While it's not exactly an ordinance, as he pointed out, it is a charter change amendment. You can join the discussion on the Jefferson Exchange by phone at 800-838-3760, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So what are some of the basic things that are laid out in this charter amendment, Ryan? What are some of the facets of this law as proposed?
Well, the general thoughts in the charter amendment, if I'm to summarize and not read legal text, is that we do not want county employees, staff, law enforcement, or elected officials to enforce or contribute to new gun laws that generally... they come out of Portland. I mean, that's where the masses are. So a gun law that's made in Portland often has repercussions in the rural areas, and our situations are different in those areas. You might notice that the National Association of Sheriffs says the average response time for sheriff's departments across the U.S. is a little over 15 minutes, and that is because the sheriffs generally patrol rural areas. So it takes a long time to get there. We believe that people should be able to protect themselves in that situation, and as crime grows in Jackson County, here we are at double the national average of theft rate. We're right at the national average of violence rate, and people might think that, well, it's just the national average, but that includes the largest and most distraught cities in the U.S. So if Medford is already up to that crime rate, that's kind of a problem, and we believe people need to protect themselves in their homes.
One of the things you mentioned in the early going, though, was a concern about confiscation. Is there any place where guns have actually been taken away ever in America?
I don't know about that, but the wording of IP 44 would have made something as simple as, and I don't know how well you know guns, but a Ruger 10/22. That's a very small caliber rifle that most people use to teach their kids to shoot if they're into gun sports or hunting or those kind of things. That IP 44 was looking to ban most semi-automatic weapons, not automatic. We're not allowed to have machine guns without a special exhibition permit. It takes months and lots of money to get one, and then you're only allowed to take it certain places. Those are very well regulated and have been for a very long time. But semi-automatic weapons are most weapons sold in America right now that aren't a revolver, which in a way is semi-automatic. Semi-automatic being one pull of the trigger sends one bullet down the barrel.
As opposed to fully automatic, where you hold the trigger and the bullets keep coming until they're out.
Exactly. Or, you know, military M16s have a selector switch, so that could be a burst or rapid fire. We're not allowed to have those in the U.S., but we are allowed to have semi-automatic weapons, which is no different than most concealed carry holders carry every day, most law enforcement officers carry on their side. And with magazine limits, I mean, if somebody's going to own a gun, I want two things personally. I want them to get some training so that they know how to use a gun and not hurt themselves or others. And I want them to be legal. If they're going to conceal carry that, they need to go take the class. They need to get fingerprinted, background checked, like I and many other people have, so that we confirm they are unlikely to be a problem with a gun. At that point, how many bullets, how many casings fit in a magazine is kind of moot, because if you want somebody to be well-trained and good with a gun, the first thing they have to do is shoot a lot, practice a whole lot. And when you have a kid at a range or you're with friends and you're at a range practicing shooting, one of the slowest things to get rounds down the range so that you get better at it is having lots of ammunition in a magazine. So the difference between a semi-automatic sidearm that has, say, 19 rounds and a semi-automatic sidearm that has what's legal in California, maximum of 10 rounds, really reduces the effectiveness of practice.
But for the purposes of what's out there on the streets, as opposed to what's available for practice, I mean, you wouldn't want to see any limits, period, on magazine sizes?
No, we don't. Okay. We don't have one now.
You mentioned that you started talking about the Ruger 22 and your concerns about what IP44, Initiative Petition 44, which is not on the ballot, would do to a gun like that? What was the concern there?
It made it illegal. It was one of the guns listed. So what the guns that get listed are in these kind of ordinances or attempts at ordinances and petitions are often designed by people that don't know guns. And I realize designed out of the goodness of their hearts because they want to protect people. They want people to be safe from shootings and other things, which are, you know, a pretty low likelihood in the United States, but definitely severely overreported by the press. And that's not an insult to you or anybody else in the press. We want them reported. We want to know what goes on for sure. But those gun ordinances, as they try to pass them, even as they're written by legislators, you know, they haven't brought gun people into the fold to even see what would be possible. We don't want any because we believe we have enough gun laws right now, as they sit, and they need to be enforced better. Definitely relative to mental health, somebody that would shoot people or shoot somebody up. I mean, I'm a concealed carry holder. I hope to never have to shoot anybody in my life. I have not been in the military. Most of my family has. So I have not been at war. So the golden rule is I definitely want to try to talk myself out of any situation. But if it means the life of myself or somebody I care about or somebody that I'm with, that could be different.
You're hearing the yes side on Jackson County Measure 15181, the Right to Bear Arms Amendment, which essentially would reaffirm Second Amendment rights at the county level. And there's some potential negation of state law in here and stuff that we'll get into with Ryan Mallory in just a few moments. He's campaign manager for Patriotic Revolution. You can join the conversation on the exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. First contact is an email from Craig in Grants Pass, who asks, how often should gun owners go through a mental evaluation? You mentioned mental fitness. And how often is training required for gun owners? That, again, from Craig in Grants Pass.
Now, there aren't any mental evaluations. To be denied a weapon right now, you would have had to have an episode where you were a threat to yourself or somebody else. And that would show up on a state police background check when you go to buy a weapon. Now, I might mention that most people that commit those crimes, shootings or brandishing a firearm or threats with a firearm, they're not always legally obtained.
All right, fair enough. But as far as training goes, that's an interesting question from him, because this gets discussed a lot about if you want that many people to have guns or want all people to have the availability, the ability to have guns, I mean, how much do you require training along with that?
Right now, the training for a concealed carry class is a four-hour class and then a fingerprint background check by our local sheriff. And I don't expect much more than that, because that would show past incidences of severe mental health issues where they were a threat to themselves or somebody else. Suicide attempt called in on your record in any way, that would prevent you from purchasing a firearm legally. And I personally think if somebody owns a weapon and wants to be good at protecting themselves and other people with it, they should probably practice a couple of times a month. They should probably practice shooting, drawing their weapon, and those kind of things, so that they reduce what's probably a larger possibility, which is a misfire or a problem with the firearm due to lack of experience.
You mentioned the 4 hours of training just to get a concealed carry permit. Is that ever a refresher thing? Do you ever have to go back after 10 years or something?
You don't, actually. You know, they assume that free adult people can retain simple safety information. I guess no different than your driver's license. You don't ever go back and take a test unless you let your driver's license expire or have some kind of problem and you're driving a 2,000-pound vehicle that can kill a lot of people all at one time.
All right, let's take some calls here. We have David in Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Ryan Mallory, who was a yes on Measure 15181.
Hi, David.
Yeah, hi. Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have to preface my comments by saying I was born in England, and so I was really raised as kind of a pacifist and didn't think anybody really needed guns. But I've been in Oregon for over 20 years now, and I've learned to appreciate the need for guns, especially when I learned about, you know, the Supreme Court's history of trying to take away the Black Panthers' guns and some of the minority groups that have been oppressed by gun control. At the same time, I think that the Supreme Court has made it very clear that we can make legal precedent on who can own a gun and what type of weapon they can use. So for me, to imply that there's a patriotic issue if one disagrees about where we put the line on that spectrum, I think it's kind of disingenuous, because just because I would put the line at a different place doesn't make me less patriotic than someone that believes there should be no restriction.
All right. Thanks for that, David. Appreciate it. So can you be a patriot without owning a gun?
I can agree with David. We picked that name because it was fun. You know, Patriotic Revolution, the same group of people does things like close Barnett Bridge over I-5 in Medford and line it with fire trucks and police cars and wave to all the traffic with flags on 9/11, gives away Christmas trees, more than 100 of them, to needy families at Christmas. We mean Patriotic Revolution to be taking positive pride in your country and helping your community. The gun issue fits that for us.
All right.
But you are definitely no less patriotic if you do agree with me. I would say you are very patriotic, David, because you're willing to call in and express your opinions in a pleasant way, and I'm happy to talk to you.
David, thanks for that. Another call here from Charlotte in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Ryan Mallory in favor of Jackson County's Second Amendment Protection Ordinance.
Hi. I've heard you say a lot of things like that people should probably practice and there should be mental health checks. But why is that not in your ordinance? I'm up here in Josephine County where we have a plethora of guns, and yes, they're easy to get a hold of illegally because we have so many guns. And recently we had a suicide wife killing in Merlin. It happens all the time here. We have a lot of shootings up here, and they're not protecting people. There are neighbors fighting with each other. There's domestic violence. I wonder why you're not supporting an ordinance that would do more to help people become responsible gun owners. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlotte. Appreciate that. Ryan?
Well, there's a possibility that I could actually do that. I mean, I studied psychology at Southern Oregon University. I definitely understand some of the issues, and I likely would support that. I guess I would follow that up with a statement and a question. A statement: yes, we should work together to find out if we can promote training. I almost think in schools, even if your child never owns a gun or never wants to own a gun, or you never want them to own a gun, it would be pretty handy if they knew how to unload one when they're at a high school party and there's a problem. Sitting on the couch, some guy's playing with it, bad thing. If they can have that gun and unload it, they're smarter for having taken that class. So I suggest everybody take the hunter safety class, because it teaches you about every action of a gun online. As far as it being my responsibility to chase those issues, it does not fit with this ballot initiative. And in getting ballot initiatives through petition and onto a ballot for a vote of the people, one of the things is if they're too cluttered with different issues, they get rejected. They get rejected by the county attorney and those kind of things. So I would say that definitely needs a closer look. I could be a proponent of the right plan, but it wasn't the goal of this plan, nor was it the goal of IP44 and the other potential runs at it. They were all about specifically about weapons. So this is about weapons.
So, Ryan, as I read the text of the Right to Bear Arms Amendment, there's a couple levels of government involved here, obviously. And essentially what I see this doing is you're making the county charter reaffirm the federal constitution, but in a sense defend it against state law. Is that a misinterpretation?
Well, the state laws don't exist yet, but we're a little bit concerned, for sure. And absolutely we are. And folks say, well, you can't supersede state law with county charters and ordinances and things like that. I guess if there's 30 of them and 30 counties, then a lot more discussion will be had than just a simple ballot measure that the large voting mass in a city the size of Portland that doesn't understand the issues of rural communities can pass. I think there'll be a lot more discussion. So that has yet to be proven. And definitely passing this ordinance buys us some time and some collaboration with other counties and communities should that need arise.
Now, there's a whole portion here on the second page of the Right to Bear Arms Amendment about the duty of the sheriff of Jackson County to determine whether any federal, state, or local regulation affecting firearms and accessories is enforceable, or that is enforceable within his or her jurisdiction, violates the Second, Ninth, or Tenth Amendments to the Constitution. You're turning the sheriff into a judge there, aren't you?
Not necessarily. I mean, the sheriff is the only law enforcement official elected by the people of a given county that swears on the Constitution. That doesn't happen with other law enforcement. So it seems appropriately placed. And, you know, if new gun laws happen, the people will definitely help the sheriff decide, as will the county commissioners.
And could you explain the connection, Ryan, between the campaign in favor of Measure 15-181 and the candidacy of Bill Froelich for Jackson County Sheriff?
Absolutely. Bill is, so we have Bill Froelich and Nathan Sickler. Nathan Sickler was the sheriff appointed by the county commissioner when Corey Falls, who I also donated to and voted for, bailed on us. I mean, straight up, I have to say it out loud, he bailed halfway through his term after taking election funds and winning the office of sheriff. So Nathan Sickler's a good guy. He's been in the department for a long time. Corey Falls did not appoint an undersheriff, as is standard in most counties in Oregon. And Bill Froelich decided to run because he sees what's going on, has lived here for about 9 years, and knows that there needs to be some change and has experienced it in a larger department and a larger city than where we live, than the population base of Medford and Jackson County. Bill Froelich is very much a constitutional sheriff. And as that, constitutional sheriffs, I think you probably know there's hundreds and hundreds of them across the U.S. that have signed a constitutional sheriff's pledge. Bill believes in the Constitution, and he was willing to sign 15-151 in its petition form. And we don't talk about the old petition.
Right, so he stands in favor of it. Mm-hmm.
He's in favor of it. He signed it. Nathan Sickler also showed up at our booth in favor of it. His friends all say that he signed it. There was a little bit of wavering on that recently in a Mail Tribune article, and I imagine that's republished in the Daily Tidings. But that wavering on 15-181, I guess.
Okay, I didn't want to get too far into the sheriff's thing, and we're out of time here.
I'm looking for somebody that is looking to be clear.
All right, Ryan Mallory, campaign manager for Patriotic Revolution in favor of Jackson County's Right to Bear Arms Amendment. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.